Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You need to play me something more festive, Dan Day. The news just dropped a couple minutes ago. I'm going to be streaking down 79th Street completely nude in a matter of minutes. Well, maybe an hour when we get out of here. Zach Duarte, it is happening, sir. It is happening. After all the speculation, after the conflicting reports yesterday, Barry Jackson, my man, my main man, Barry J, tweets out during our commercial break. So, De'Aaron King announces he will transfer to Miami, immediately eligible. Difficult to overstate significance of this move, writes Barry. Pro Football Focus's second-rated quarterback in 2018. Remember, he eventually redshirted last year. Pro Football Focus is, and by the way, I criticize Pro Football Focus when I don't like their data, but when I like their data, I pump them up. Pro Football Focus, those are my guys. He was their second-rated quarterback in 2018 behind only Kyler Murray. I've heard of him. A true impact player at the position. So, transfer portal, still bringing Miami players. Hopefully this one works out better than Tate Martell. But De'Aaron King is on his way to Miami. And by the way, here's what I want to see on Twitter. All of you stooges and you clowns out there that were ripping apart the good name of Manny Navarro for what he reported yesterday. I want to see a lot of apologies out there, okay? I want to see you basement-dwelling goons who were criticizing The Athletic's Manny Navarro for reporting correctly that De'Aaron King had told Miami coaches he was coming, only to have some guy in Houston come out and say, oh, I spoke to King. He told me he hasn't made up his mind yet. I'm not doubting King said it, but Manny Navarro was right, and he deserves several apologies. So I want to see it. When I log on to Kane's Twitter, which is a thing all its own, I want to see dozens and dozens of apologies to Manny Navarro because I think he deserves it.
Yeah, I agree with you. By the way, this was announced also by De'Aaron King himself, and then it was reported by Barry Jackson. But De'Aaron King tweeted 9 minutes ago.
Love it.
Story is still being written.
And
let's
by the way,
go.
You want to know who's now following De'Aaron King? This guy. I just click follow.
Oh, I was like, who?
No, me.
And then he put a picture of himself in a Hurricanes jersey, and it says De'Aaron King committed.
He's wearing the number 4, so I assume that's the number he's choosing at Miami. And, man, he looks good in that uniform.
How long till Jaren Williams hits the transfer portal?
Probably in like 8 minutes we're going to see
probably
that.
Probably like minus 7.
he's probably already in. We just haven't found it yet.
He's listening to this like, uh-oh, time to transfer.
Can you imagine if this is where he heard it for the first time? He's like, he's never going to listen again. He hates us now. Sorry, Jaren. Sorry you partied way too much before games this year. Oh, my God. But, yeah, no, I think it's inevitable that somebody, one if not more than one, are going to leave. So the quarterback room, you know, you've got Jaren there, Nikosi there, Tate Martell, who has said he's not going to transfer again, although I think he told Ohio State fans the same thing a year ago at this time, so you never know. Peyton Matocha, who redshirted. Tyler Van Dyke is coming in as a true freshman now. Now, keep in mind, De'Aaron King doesn't really impact those guys because he's here for 1 year. Graduate transfer, he only has one more year of eligibility, so Tyler Van Dyke could still very well be the quarterback of the future, and I actually like the idea of him redshirting his first year and not trying to compete. But, yeah, guys, it's happening. It's happening. De'Aaron King, like you said, Zach, I just found it on Twitter. Story is still being written. Let's go. #VU. So, still, I think that my suspicion probably confirmed here that – you know, the reason why De'Aaron King denied the report yesterday initially was because he still wanted to make his announcement. Like, he didn't want his announcement to be confirming the report. Like, he wanted to get his Photoshop, his edit ready. He wanted to be able to tell the world his own way. And you know what? He was probably still dotting some I's and crossing some T's, man, when it came to,
he had to pick his classes.
It's a good point. Yeah, underwater basket weaving. Yeah, you got to get that. Although, you know what? I got to say, man, when I was at the U and I was there during a decent time for the football program, no championships won while I was there, unfortunately, but I had some classes with some football players, and I didn't see guys skipping classes. Like I saw guys showing up. I saw guys doing the work and putting it in. So, you know, I know there are a lot of stereotypes out there about athletes, you know, not showing up or only taking the easiest classes. Zach, I took multiple semi-advanced math courses, and there were some football players who probably did a lot better in those classes than I did. So I'm just saying, not all the stereotypes are true. People work hard out there. Work hard and earn those A's.
Feels good. Feels good, though. Although, like you said, you know, we did see this with Tate Martell, and it had the had a similar feeling, right? But this feels different because of Rhett Lashley.
Well, and also, like, De'Aaron King in 2018. Now, I know that Houston is not Miami, but he at least did show you he can play collegiately at a high level, because with Tate Martell, you only knew he could play high school at a high level, right? Where we've seen De'Aaron King play the game very well in college in 2018. But yeah, I think the Rhett Lashley factor is big because King, he fits well with the system, up-tempo, spread offense, that is his forte. I think he's going to adapt to that a lot more quickly and a lot more, you know, a lot more efficiently than someone like Jaren Williams, whose skill set I don't think fits as much into that sort of system, and, you know, Nikosi Perry and whoever else. I think this is perfect for a year transition to have this grad senior. I think De'Aaron King, again, I'm not guaranteeing, you know, national championship or even ACC championship. I just hope you finally win the Coastal again. But I think this is going to be the right fit for Rhett Lashley's offense.
Yeah, I have a feeling that it's going to work out too. The thing is, it's a one-year plug. So hopefully Miami either has or will address the future of the quarterback position, because as we've talked about, you don't want to keep reaching into the transfer portal to fix all your problems. You want your problems to be something that you address on the recruiting trail and something that you have lined up. Like when you think of the old Miami Hurricanes, you think of their depth at so many positions, and the problem is that Miami doesn't have any depth at these positions, so they have to reach into the transfer portal,
right,
to assist them with a lot of the holes on the roster right now.
Texture writes in, I don't like this. I'd rather have Nikosi and Jaren for their two or three remaining seasons,
nope,
rather than this guy for one. No,
nope.
I don't think
nope,
so either, man. I mean, listen, you've had
you must have not watched Miami Hurricanes football.
Yeah,
that's all I can say.
And
you know what? I do hope that Nikosi sticks around. I like what Nikosi did from this year to last year. His attitude adjustment from the outside looking in, I was able to see him in practices and whatnot a few times, and I like the adjustment that Nikosi Perry made from year two to year one, but I don't feel confident at all with Jaren Williams as my starting quarterback, and I have a feeling of that report about the quarterback room was a lot about Jaren Williams.
Yeah, no, it certainly seemed that way, and you know, it's like early November, mid-November, he looked so good against Louisville. You know, the six touchdown game, the record setting game, you thought, my God, like we have our quarterback, this is it. And then to follow that up with the performances, and it wasn't just him, right? The entire offense was abhorrent. But the performances you follow that up with, you know, FIU and then the bowl game against Louisiana Tech, you ended the season against Duke, like it was just rough. And you're thinking, man, like how could he have gone from Louisville to what we saw for the final couple weeks of the season? It just goes to show you cannot trust him. Like I think this is a good move. Texter writes in, problem is coaching, not the players. At least the coach brought the turnover chain. Well, I mean, you say coaching is the problem. I'm sure you're talking about Manny Diaz, but offensively, they have a new offensive coordinator. So you should give Manny credit for identifying a problem with the offensive coaching and changing it, because Al Golden had a chance to do that with D'Onofrio, refused to. Mark Richt had a chance to do that with Thomas Brown and with John Richt. He decided he'd rather retire than make those changes to his coaching staff. So give Manny Diaz some credit for identifying problems and saying, I've got to fire and then hire the right people to fix it.
You ask anybody that played at the University of Miami, they will tell you that coaching is not a bigger problem than the players.
Yes, that's a great point.
So
that's a great, but people don't want to hear that.
You can text in all you want.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is when you have players missing assignments, missing blocks, missing meetings, missing practices, and missing extra points, you can put that all you want on the coaching. You sound like an idiot. You just do. Because the former Miami Hurricanes players on these airwaves are telling you that it's the players. So all these texters that want to text in, it's the coaching, it's the coaching, it's the coaching. You sound dumb. Because I have former athletes telling you it's the players. And people don't want to hear it. Like they know from their couch with their hand in a bag of Cheetos better than the guys who played in the NFL, who played for the University of Miami, who were in that locker room. And, you know, let's go back to the last University of Miami championship. Who won that? The players or the coach?
The players.
The players! They had a buffoon as a coach!
Don't talk about my Coker that way.
So, like, get out of here with this nonsense that it's the players. Get out of here. You sound dumb.
And if they had a kicker who could have confidently made an extra point or a 23-yard chip shot, they could have won 8 or 9 games.
Right.
Even with that team last year, which wasn't good, they still could have won 8 or 9 games if they could have made an extra point or a chip shot field goal. So let's not forget.
10,000 times agree.
Let's go to Dan Day for some headlines.
All righty, let's do it. The Heat look to rebound tonight against the Kings at home after losing yesterday to the Spurs 107-102.
They better rebound. 18-1 at home. I don't want to see the Sacramento Kings come in here and ruin that. 19-1 at home today.
No Jimmy Butler.
Oh, yeah, he's got the hip soreness. Well, he could afford to sit this one out, I think. Anything else?
Conor McGregor, after a 15-month layoff,
scored
a 42nd TKO against Cowboy last night in Vegas.
Well, it was Saturday night, last night.
Oh, Saturday night?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, full disclosure, I was rooting for Cowboy Cerrone, not a big Conor McGregor fan, but I did think McGregor would win the fight because stylistically I thought that it favored Conor a bit. I didn't see it happening in 40 seconds, so that was impressive and that was surprising.
Can we talk about the boa constrictor?
Yeah.
What about Cowboy's grandma? Wasn't she?
I love her.
Profiled in the.
She was so nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's not enough grandmas in MMA fighting, I think.
Only Dan Day could think about that. Oh, man. Anything else, sir?
Speaking of exciting, Inter-Miami CF Open practice today at Barry University. Their first home match will be March 14th against David Beckham's former team, the LA Galaxy.
I'm excited for that. And, you know, I wish it was the LA Galaxy still was Zlatan, but he moved on to Milan and Serie A, went back there. But it's amazing to think that after, 6 years of buildup for David Beckham's Miami club, how long it took to actually get that team here and get that team going, that they actually hit the pitch today for practice. Like, it's historic, and I'm excited for it. What is your, Mr. Duarte, your excitement level for some MLS soccer in town?
I'm sure I'll be much more excited when it actually gets going and whatnot.
I just hope they're good, man. I mean, I think that they have the right sporting director or GM. Like, it's the guy who helped build Orlando and helped build the Atlanta United, which, you know, obviously Orlando not a great team, but he helped build them as an expansion club, and then Atlanta the same thing. So I think they found the right guy to put the team together.
I have no idea on any of this.
Dan, anything else?
Yeah, you got any questions for me, Dono?
Yeah! Dan, are there any happy endings today in the day spa?
Always. A priest in Dublin. Zach Duarte recently returned from there. He recently processed from Mass on a scooter.
What?
Just jumped on a scooter and wheeled himself out of there. Those new age priests, man, can't keep up with those guys.
Oh, man. That is, now, are we talking like scooter, like the ones you stand on, or like a moped?
It was ones you stand on. Motorized, but nonetheless, yeah.
Yeah, I've never been on one of those. I know that that's been like a big thing over the last couple of years, those scooters. Have you ever been on one of those, Duarte? You don't strike me as a scooter type of guy.
No, definitely not.
I mean, you're the same guy who like walked from the American Airlines Arena to this building like 5 or 6 miles like in the middle of the night.
You know whose fault that was, right?
It was Dan Day's fault.
Got a new phone because of it.
Oh, man.
Oh, also, reports are that the Loch Ness Monster is a marsupial.
What?
Nah, I don't know. That's reports.
Do you believe that there is a Loch Ness Monster? Because I fully believe that there is one.
Nah, hell no.
You don't?
No. Zach?
Nah, I don't believe in that nonsense.
Well, we've seen the photographic evidence.
How would we not have found it by now?
It's a big lake.
It's a marsupial.
You're a big lake.
Happy endings for everyone.
Oh, man. By the way, this guy who says it's coaching, not the players, he's reverted to calling us morons.
Okay.
Coaching is responsible for those players, you idiot. Well, no, hold on. Coaching is responsible for those players, you idiot. Okay, take out the idiot part. You're telling me there's no self-accountability. Like, are you expecting us to live in a nanny state where the only reason why players have any sense of accountability, self-motivation, that has to come from a coach? Are you telling me that the reason why Michael Irvin, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Sean Taylor were motivated to go out there, work 1,000%, study the tape, keep their body in tremendous shape, not party too much during the season, to go out there and destroy people on Saturdays. Are you telling me that was all because they had people like Jimmy Johnson and Butch Davis and Larry Coker to keep them in line? Like, hold on, there's got to be self-accountability. And if these players don't have that, you can't put that all on coaching. Like, you have to say at some point, these athletes need to look at themselves in the mirror. And I think maybe some of that has to come with maybe more mentorship from some of the former players, because coaches can't do everything, man. So if you're going to blame that on coaching, fine. Alex Dono, Zach Duarte, Dan Day with you here, taking you up till 6 o'clock on 560 The Joe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.